Friday night, baby. Da, 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 da. Come on, Jess. Old Base Show brought to you by oldbase.nz. Yes, show number 43. Wow. It's pretty good, eh? Coming to show number 50, we're going to have some special things happening. And on Monday, Sandra Gowdy will be here, the mayor. How cool is that? I know, right?
Yeah. Very cool.
Some people very, find very it cool, some people won't. Anyway, good chance to send her a question, ask her a question. So we'll be live streaming at 7 p.m. Subscribe to our channel, and you can send a question on the live chat. I'm sure she'll be very keen to answer a lot of questions from the audience. Okay, if you want to run your own podcast, or if you want to do some live meetings, you can rent this beautiful space. Do you like the studio, Jess?
Very cool.
Thank you very much.
First time here, it's very, very cool.
Thank you. You can rent this space, you can do your own show, or if you want us to produce and direct and give some ideas, we'll be happy to. We also do some video production services, so if you're looking into increasing your online presence with beautiful content, hit us up, oldbase.nz. All right. You can also support our Altbase clips, where we break down the interviews. So if you don't have time to listen to the whole thing, you can listen to the clips and see which ones you want to spend more time in. Okay, so Altbase clips, subscribe to that channel too, so you support the bros. 13 weeks, I think.
13.
I think so. Hi, Christine.
Hello. It doesn't seem like it.
Does it feel like more or less?
It feels like we've been doing this not forever, but it just feels normal.
That's good.
You know, yes. But then it doesn't feel like we've had that many shows. I think because it's just normal.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the consistency, and the, maybe because you guys rotate as well. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm at least here once a week, except for when we were sick and stuff. But
thank you so much, by the way.
That's all right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Enjoy it.
How's your Friday going?
Good. Good so far.
The kids are good?
I hope so.
They're not here. I'm great. Yeah.
That's my mother-in-law's problem tonight.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the kids.
Yeah.
Kids,
be good for granny.
Yes. Thank you. Christine, so I got something here.
An orange.
So for the people,
yeah, for everyone who is listening, for the, it's a kiwi for the fruit.
Oh, thank you. Description is very important. So this guy comes to me today, this friend of mine, with a bag of kiwi fruit, the gold kiwi fruits, for the people who are listening to this overseas and don't have this beautiful specialty here. It's a gold kiwi fruit. And he told me that it came from one of the packings or whatever in the area. And he said that there was like a big truck full of gold kiwi fruits that they don't sell because there's like a little spot or something all the way. I don't know. And I was just curious. And
yeah,
he said,
where's the spot, eh?
I know, right? It's a perfect, beautiful gold kiwi fruit. And he was telling me that a lot of fruits go on waste. And some of them, they even give to cows. And I was just curious why we don't, I don't know, why we like we don't donate, or I don't know. So if for the people who have answers, we had Joanna Mannington coming on show number 6, and we talked about food waste in New Zealand. And it was a great show. So if you want to listen to that, and if you have an answer for me, why I am eating this, and actually why other people are not having access to...
Why
don't
I get a bag of free kiwi fruit?
Yeah, I know, right? So yeah. Expensive nowadays. And how ridiculous is the price of produce and fruits nowadays, eh?
Yeah, crazy. Well, you would think like...
$4 a capsicum.
$4. What is this?
Single capsicum.
$4.
Right? Yeah. So just before we keep this going, what is this voice coming from the other side? Yeah, let's put Jess in the conversation.
Welcome.
So tonight with us, Jess Hamilton.
Yay.
$4, Jess.
For a capsicum.
For a capsicum.
Yeah. Incredible.
Do you, in cabbage, Like, cabbage isn't that good, but it's so expensive.
So expensive.
Why?
Maybe because it comes from overseas, really far away, and it costs a lot to get here.
That's one thing.
Could be.
I don't know why it can't grow here.
That kiwi fruit looks like a big kiwi fruit, and I know they send most of the big, the good, big ones overseas. You know, and they keep the ones that are half that size for the people in New Zealand.
For the New Zealanders. Yeah. And that's the thing, eh? Like, apparently, as you just said, we send a lot of stuff to other countries.
All the best stuff leaves the country.
The best stuff. I remember a post, I think, was in Australia. The price of kumara, was super cheap in Australia.
Crazy,
and it was a time that like it was maybe like $12 the kg here in New Zealand, and I'm like, that doesn't.
That's even like dairy products here is so expensive, and then Aussie it's cheap, but it's from here.
It's produced here.
Everything over in Aussie is quite cheap though, comparatively to here. But I think the wage over there is quite a lot higher.
Right.
You get paid, you know, double time and a half, and
just for working a weekend, which is standard here.
Right. So you lived in Australia for a while, right?
Yeah, I did. I lived in Byron Bay.
Oh yeah, Byron Bay.
Isn't there like a reality TV program called like Byron Bays?
Yeah, I haven't watched that, but I have. Maybe she watched and be like,
Have you watched it?
No, I haven't. But I just hearing Byron Bay, I'm like Byron Bays.
There's a Do you guys know the Inbetweeners? Have you watched In Between Us?
No.
You're
missing out.
So funny.
The second one.
Yeah, they base it in Australia, and then there's like a scene where they're at a hostel, and you can see the place where I used to work in the background of it. Yeah. So cool. Every time I watch it, I'm like, yes, I worked there. Yes.
So is it like a reality show?
It's just like a comedy sort of.
Oh, yeah, In Between Us is like a UK comedy.
Right. It's real, like it's derogatory.
Yeah.
It's quite funny, like quite dirty humor, but it's real funny. Right. Yeah, very, very cool. Very cool.
Right, because probably the Byron Bays, I don't know, I'm just guessing, it might be about the lifestyle. Because I think someone told me about it. Is it like showing the hype and what's happening with there? Which is quite ridiculous, right? So apparently there's a lot of like Hollywood stars and rich people buying houses there, is that right?
When I lived there, my flatmate at the time, she was doing like horse tricks on the beach. That was her job. And she had so they did sort of like, you know, kids riding lessons and stuff. And they had Chris Hemsworth's wife bring their kids down like most weeks to do horse riding lessons.
She's like, that's cool, but where's your husband?
Yeah, so she got to meet her
name. Who's the husband?
Chris Hemsworth.
Thor. Yeah. I know Thor. Yeah. There you go.
So she got to be quite close, well not close, but no Elsa, I think her name is.
Right.
And then she ended up taking Chris Hemsworth and Matt Damon. On a horse trip down the beach in Byron Bay.
Hey!
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty cool.
It was very, very, very cool.
I visited Byron Bay.
Did you?
I went to see Juan.
Oh, very cool. Juanita. Did you like it?
I did. Yeah, I think I talked about this before here. What upset me a little bit was I went to Tasmania first, which was pretty cool. Mm. It was quite a different scenario. It was a little bit... It was beautiful, but it was just different from the rest of what I saw in Australia. I loved Melbourne, the culture, the places, the music. I found so many cool venues and art galleries and just...
It's a cool little bars.
Funky
and
people.
It's like the whole description of Melbourne is exactly that. Eh?
Yeah,
like
is that right?
Little bars and
little
music
cafes
and
art
and,
sorts of cool
and
stuff.
Nightlife. Yeah. And
I loved it.
Street performers.
Yeah, yes. A lot of street performers I've heard.
And I remember this kind of like an alleyway or like... full of graffitis, so like it was a specific like this tiny street, and it was graffiti like there's graffiti everywhere, but this specific like tiny street so beautiful, and I think they change it every now and then, cool. So it's kind of like a spot for artists anyway, and Byron Bay to see Juan, who we met we're getting old ages, what, 8 years ago maybe when those guys were here, I would say 8 years. And it was humid, so it kind of reminded me of Brazil, vibe. Oh. It was that heat that I was sweating and I was like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's ridiculous. Like hot.
I'm not used to this.
Hot
now.
As hell. Yeah, like quite different from New Zealand. But yes.
No, I feel like Byron Bay is really similar to here, but just more.
Yeah.
Like it's a similar sort of surfy.
You mean the vibe?
Yeah.
Yeah, the vibe, but yes. Just
Byron Bay is just a lot more going on and, you know, a lot more bars and people, and but it's just sort of the same.
Like here times 100.
Yeah. And more like people come from overseas, obviously, to visit Byron Bay and do whatever they have to do to get a visa and blah blah blah.
Mm.
Very cool though.
So what upset me as soon as I got there, I think the van stopped at a bus station, a bus stop or something, and there were a lot of homeless, and I could tell that they were indigenous people. Mm. Like could tell by the look. And it was just upsetting because that also reminded me of Brazil, which is not a great memory, of like people ignoring.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Look the other way, not my problem.
And carrying on. Like, and I know, you know, like, oh, this whole society, and blah, blah, blah. But like, you have an image of a place, you know, oh, Byron Bay, cool, you know, like beautiful, woohoo, Byron Bays. And then it's not like that.
No.
You know,
it not was, at all.
Yeah. So like, that was the first impression as soon as I got there. And I'm like, okay, cool. There's some reality going on here. So it was interesting. It was good to pick up that vibe, that part of the thing. How long were you there for?
I think it was about 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been more, nearly three. Yeah. Nearly 3 years.
What took you over there?
So before I left, I was seeing a guy from France and I planned to move over there and sort of stay with him and blah, blah, blah. But we ended up breaking up just beforehand, unfortunately. So some friends of mine were living in Byron Bay and I said to them, like, look, this is my plan and this is what's happened. And they were like, well, why don't you just come over and, you know, we've got a spare room and blah, blah, blah. So that's what ended up happening. So I moved over and I think I lived in a hostel for a little while because we were waiting for our house, you know, because there was a spare room, but we were waiting. So I lived in a hostel for, might have been like 2 months, and it was the time of my life.
Yeah.
The best time, yeah. And I've never done the hostel thing before moving over there.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I don't know about that. But it was so much fun. Like, I made so many friends.
Yeah.
Just had the best time.
So for the people who don't travel much, because our audience is quite diverse, what is the vibe of a hostel in a place like Byron Bay, or even here in the Coromandel when it's summer and it's pumping, like, what happens in a hostel that it makes it so much fun? Say the things that you can say.
Everyone will be like young in your age. Sure. Yeah.
Share the things you can share.
I think it's like when you have a sleepover with all your pals.
It's just a cool sleepover.
You know?
Yeah.
But you're in a bunk bed and they're just, you know, it's just cool when like everybody goes, you know, what are you doing tonight? Should we go to this bar? And then we all just get ready and go walk down together and then everybody goes home or doesn't go home, you know, and it's just so much fun. And those like, you know, communal cooking kitchens, I should say, and then, you know, you cook dinner
communal
with all your pals,
isn't it?
And then you check what the other person is cooking.
It's just so cool. so cool. Yeah, and I'd never done it before, so I was like, well, this is real foreign to me. But the room I ended up staying in was just full of really nice people. And I think
they were like co-ed rooms or was like?
Yeah, they were. Oh. They were. Yeah, so boys and girls, which was real cool. Really, really fun.
I have a story. I have a story.
And I'm gonna stop there.
I have a story, Christine. I think it's okay to share. I think it's suitable-ish.
Okay, yeah.
For the time, for 7 p.m. So I met this I met this girl, and she was traveling with a friend, and her friend was not happy. Not happy at all. And I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? She was like, oh, no. And then I dug a little bit, and she was like, well, we came to the hostel last night and they were in the mixed bedrooms because, you know, usually, as you said, you know, female, male, but sometimes you have to go to the mixed one. Sometimes it's cheaper or sometimes it's what's left. And they were sleeping and she said that she heard someone opening the door and she could hear the guy. He was like, no, I'm tired now, I'm just gonna go to bed, I just have to use the toilet first, but I need to go to bed. So like, okay. And then silence. And then the girl just listened. The guy was peeing in the bedroom. But it wasn't going in the girl in the bunk bed, in the bottom one. And her friend was sleeping and she didn't notice.
Oh my
goodness.
So
she told the guy, hey, what are you doing? And then her friend woke up. Horrific. And she realized what was happening.
Oh, my God. So that is not where I saw the story going.
I'm sorry.
No, me either. No,
I was thinking. Either.
So she was not
my
happy.
Brain went to the gutter. Like.
Nah, yeah. She didn't even ask. The guy just speeds him.
If she had asked, it would have been fine.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Hostel Stories, Old Bay Show, 43. There you go. Mm. So, do you have a good story from experience in the hostel? A good one to share that no one peed on
at 7 o'clock in the evening.
I don't know if I honestly don't know if I've got any stories that would be appropriate for this time of the evening. I mean, I remember like my most memory is getting in bed and there always being sand in my bed.
Correct.
Because like, it was right in front of the beach. Like,
is that from me?
20 meters away. The beach was right there. But I honestly don't think there's any stories that I have that would be.
Okay, fine.
Appropriate. Yeah.
And then coming back to New Zealand after those two years and a half away, what was the vibe? Did you feel like, hey, home, this is...
Well, so I came back because I planned to join the police force, was my ambition for coming back, which I never ended up doing, which is on my to-do list for the next couple of years. But that's why I came back. And I ended up, just... doing other stuff, working in a cafe and da 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 da. And then,
And here you are.
Here I am.
And then you were like, I might as well start riding bikes. And
Well, it didn't start like that.
Didn't start like that?
No. Mm. So my current partner, we lived on a dairy farm, actually. Mm. And then he said to me one day, do you want to learn how to ride the, it's like a little, 100cc or 125cc farm bike? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, I'll give it a go. Like, that seems cool. Like, it won't be that hard, surely. And I tried to do it, and I hated it. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it the first time you had a go on a motorbike?
I did it a bit when I was younger, and I didn't like it then either. So I tried. I was like, I'll try it again. Surely fine. Nah, hated it. I was like, nah, get me off. I hate this. And then what did we do? Oh, we moved off the farm, and we moved into town, and we were staying with a guy who he had a bike himself, and then he had like a big shed, and he was looking after his friend's bikes. And then my partner ended up getting I can't remember what it was. It was some sort of bike. And I was like, oh, that's real cool. I'll give that a go. And then I ended up really liking it. So it wasn't like a farm bike. It was like a road bike.
Yeah.
So I ended up giving that a go. And because I was like, that looks cool. Like, I'd look really cool riding that. So, yeah, I gave it a go and I really liked it. But I still wasn't very good. So I just practiced for a while. And I think it was like a 600cc, which is pretty big.
Okay.
Yeah. To learn to ride on the road. And then I ended up getting my first bike, which was a little 250cc Yamaha thing, which was so cool. Like, I love that bike. And then I sold it, and I didn't have a bike for a long time, like maybe 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
And then the bike I've got now, I saw it come up for sale, and I couldn't afford it, I think, at the time.
Which bike?
I've got a Harley Sportster. Ooh, 883 Sportster, yeah, nice. 2007. It's very, very, very cool. So it's my first Harley. So the guy was selling it because he had a Harley as well, or a big bike, and he like crashed it and rode it off. And this was his wife's bike, and she wouldn't go riding by herself. So I went to look at it, and unfortunately, I couldn't afford it at the time. And then I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was just working, and then I went back to look again, and because he still hadn't sold it, and I had a certain amount of money on me, and I was like, look, this is what I've got. Sell it to me for this much, I'll take it. And he was like, yeah, take it. So
man, I should have asked before.
Yeah, which was like, I was really stoked because I got it for a good price. So
sweet.
Yeah. And then
how much does it cost, like a new one, a brand new, like 2022, and like a 12 year 15 year old one? Because I have no clue. I'm legitimately not even aware of it.
I mean,
or it depends on the condition of the bike?
Well, a brand new one, maybe like a 1200cc Harley is probably 25,000. Yeah,
a brand new though. Like,
I mean,
that's
not much,
it's a lot of money for something that you don't ride every day. You know, like if you're not going to smash it every day, that's quite a lot of money. Like, I would probably ride my bike like twice a month, which is not much. Yeah. But I think for like a bike that's, I don't know, say my bike would probably be 7,000, 8,000, would be what you'd pay for my bike.
Is it a heavy bike? I always had that impression that it's a heavy thing to met or not. You get used to it.
I mean, my bike's, I think, about 220 kilos, which is not, I mean, like, it's not that much. Like, when you're on it, you don't notice.
Right.
You don't, like, you don't notice the weight because it just sort of, you know, does its thing.
Rolls,
yeah. Like, I've never dropped it. Like, I feel like if I dropped it on the ground, I wouldn't be able to pick it up.
Right.
But, like, when I straddle it, I can just hold it up nice and easy.
I always think that, like, when you see female bikers, and you know how they've got, like, the leather boots and they've got a little bit of a heel?
Yeah.
It's like, I can barely walk with the heel, but they're holding up this whole bike. You know what I mean? They put their foot down, their whole body's holding up a whole bike. Yeah. That's so gonna be hard.
It seems to me, like, again, because I haven't got a clue about how to ride a motorbike, but every time that I see here in Fitzianga, there's like the bikers coming to town, all noisy and like all following each other, and they have, there's the thing with the style, right?
Yeah.
You know, like if you see the guy just having a meal, Uncle John having a meal, you know, bacon and eggs, and the next minute he's fucking on the Harley Davidson with the spiky helmet, like the Gucci, like wild, back to bacon and eggs. But like, you know, so there's this thing with the style, right? Yeah. With the motorbike. Like,
they know they look cool too as well. Oh, yeah. Right?
Were you into that straight away? Like, I want my jacket. Yeah. I want,
100%. So when I first got my bike, I couldn't afford, you know, nice leathers and stuff.
Yeah.
So I wore like my partner's jacket, which was, he's a big boy, so it was like way too big for me, and I was wearing like, you know, hoary ass boots and whatever. But now I've got like, I should have worn it. I've got a really cool jacket actually that I got gifted for my birthday.
Hey.
Oh,
sweet.
Yeah, it's very, very, very cool. And I've got some like pink boots that I wear, and my my helmet's got like cat ears on it. Like, it's real cool.
So everyone's gonna see you when you're on your bike, they're like, there
she's Jess.
Yeah. So I either wear my pink boots or I wear my black boots with like pink socks. But I always try and make sure, because when you're riding a bike, it's pretty scary. Like, people sort of don't really pay much attention, you know. Like, we were riding, there's a big straight in between, somewhere between like Thames and Auckland, that we were going for a ride maybe 2 weeks ago, and I was in the front. So we're coming along, and there's a, you know, a line of cars coming towards us, and there was a guy who, they'd have been 100 meters away, he just pulled straight out and like straight towards me, you know, and he thought he could make it.
Yeah.
But I had to like pull right off the road, and there's like all these bikes behind me. So everybody's like, you know, pulling the fingers at him, but he just like straight out, didn't even look, like,
just
lucky
go.
He made it in and didn't, you know, smoke all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, all of you guys miss a car, he's going to win anyway. So
second best every time. Like, there's just no way. Like, I would have, if he had hit me, I would have gone.
When you go on a trip, do you usually go with your partner, or like you guys like the group thing, you get together with a group? So what's the usual?
So there's a few guys who go sort of, I think it was last weekend they went, and then every fortnight we meet up at Highworks and we just go for a ride around wherever we, you know, wherever we go. But I don't usually like to ride by myself. It'll either be me in a group or me and my partner in a group or whatever. I wouldn't go out by myself.
Right. Yeah. Would you also have like just a normal, ordinary one to do your daily thing? Like, would you ride a bike just?
I would probably just ride that bike I have.
Right.
Yeah. Would be what I would ride. But
you still got a car.
Yeah. It's pretty expensive though, having a bike. Like, I think Rego is $580 for a year.
Yeah.
So compared to a car, which is like $100, you know.
Okay. Yeah. It might sound very ignorant, the questions that I'm gonna ask you, but I don't know. Is it normal petrol? Is it like 91 or what's
I mean, you could. I wouldn't put 91 in my bike. I just, you know, the 98 and the 95 are just a better quality.
Mm. Right.
So that, you know, just keep the bike running nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Is it expensive to be insured for a bike? Like,
I actually don't know. I don't have insurance on my bike.
Yes.
I know.
Come on.
I know. I don't think so, though.
Because I would, like, I guess with the, you know, the image of bikers, like you're saying, that they would be like, oh, you're more of a liability because you're a biker.
I would assume so.
I don't know.
I think that's why the rego is so high. Like, the ACC levy is real high, because obviously it's a lot less safe than being in a car.
Really, it's the drivers.
Totally.
In the vehicle.
Totally.
Yeah. In Brazil, it's, well, 200 million people in the country, wow. 12 million people. Yeah, mm-hmm. 200 million and 11 at the moment, 211 million people. Yeah. Anyway, 12 million people in the city where I'm from, São Paulo. So bikers, they do the runs for everybody, you know, like gotta send a letter, gotta send. So they, the middle lane. So let's say like in New Zealand, you have the two lanes and then there's the white things dividing them. Mm. In Brazil, that's a lane for
motorcycles.
The bikers, pretty much. Wow. You know.
Wait, what's the speed limit in Brazil? Like,
it depends, eh, Taylor. It depends on the region. Depends where you are. Like most of the highways, I think they will be 60.
And like not
Case.
Oh,
so like, yeah, it's quite, yeah. And but then, like, you of course, when you get to the open roads, like the South Highways or whatever, like, if it was cool. I think you can get up to 120, eh, Taylor? It used to be, eh? Yeah. Some of them are 120. So, like, it depends, depends on the region, depends where you are. But that's the thing, like, there's a lot of traffic, obviously. Yeah. You know, like,
can
so
you
when,
even get to 120?
So, when you're in,
200 million people.
So, when you're in the city, when you're in the city, like, the bikers kind of take over.
Yeah, lane splitting, you know? I suppose, straight up the middle. Yeah.
And like, you know, it's quite like, it's for me, I will say that it's scary because I would drive a car, but I understand the biker freaking out because, as you said, you know, people don't give a damn, you know, like they just turn, they just do the thing, they take that middle lane. But what they do, like, they're very close to each other, you know, like, because they, man, there was statistics that like at least one a day would die in São Paulo.
Wow. Jeez.
So if something happens, they're together, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what was very common? So if you make a bad move and you kind of get on their lane, they would raise their legs to kick the rear of your mirror of the cars. And another thing that happened to me once, the guy,
he kicked you, your car.
I've seen it, and it's common. But what happened to me was the guy, I thought I would have time to get to the other lane because it was probably like a 4-lane street. So I signed, and then I looked, and I thought I could go, but there was a bike coming, so I kind of went back. But of course, I freaked him out, you know, because he was not expecting.
Yeah.
So he very quickly took his helmet off, smashed my rearview mirror, and popped the helmet back on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is a thing.
And how do you do that with one hand? Like, you know, you still got to stand.
Yeah. I'm not joking. Like, it is a thing. It is a thing. So so that's one of the reasons why I never got into bikes, because there, it's a bit of a, like, oh, you know, gotta be careful. Like, of course, a lot of people do it very safely.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my mom. You're not gonna get in a motorbike. That's dangerous. You're not gonna do that. Come on,
my mum was the same too.
Is she all right now?
She's all right now. I've taken her for a couple of rides on my bike.
Oh, sweet.
Which she did. She was kind of about it.
Boy, I love it, but
because of you riding,
well,
or because
I try and ride pretty safe. But I mean, sometimes we just go a little bit fast. But you know, I'm usually pretty safe. Like, we went for a ride.
She's most honest. I like it, Jess. Honesty is good. Yeah.
We went for a ride. It would have been a while ago now, but we were going up the Tyrrell Hill, and there's like a little pullover area for the, you know, for the slow traffic. So a guy pulled in, and then there was a bike in front of me. So the guy sort of pulled over, and the bike in front of me went to pass, and then this guy pulling in mustn't have realized the slow lane was finishing. So he was still driving, so he pulls back out. So the guy on this bike has to make space, and he goes over and goes past the center line and hits a camper van. And this is the guy right in front of me. So I was actually a couple of cars back, so I came around the corner and I was like, what's all this stuff all over the road? There was like plastic and you know, stuff everywhere, because we heard a loud noise, but I thought it was just like someone's bike backfiring. But I came around the corner and I saw this, and I was like, what's going on? And then, you know, a pal of mine was in the middle of the road and his bike was all upside down, and it was horrific. Yeah, it was really, really bad. So ever since then, I've sort of been a bit more cautious, just because, you know, he's been riding for longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
And you know, something like that happened to him. So, you know, I haven't been riding for that long, so I've got to just be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah. Mm. Are you into it, Christine?
No.
Not yet.
No. No. Like, I appreciate it, but not for me.
Yeah.
I think totally I'm just chicken. A little. But, I don't know. It's just, so I would give, you know how they've got the cool electric ones? Yeah, I'll do that because it's electric, and I guess you can only get to a certain speed, but not a motor one. That just seems too many things going on.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
So how far can a, how fast can a Harley go?
Well, how fast have you done your Harley?
How fast have I gone?
Mum, turn it off. Yeah, flip now off is the time.
I think she might be watching too.
I'm sure she is. There you go, Mum. Yeah. That's for you.
She's probably sitting forward like, how fast have you gone?
Oh, I think probably... Oh,
nothing more than speed limit, obviously.
Yeah, yep.
Good.
Yep.
But like on a farm or something, if you have the opportunity to go a little bit faster, would it get to what, you would you say? Like a,
do you mean
a
my bike personally? Or?
Yeah. You
so my bike, I've probably got 90 miles an hour, which is pretty fast. Like 60 miles is 100. So that's
it can go
quite high.
Yeah.
But like I try to be super safe. Like I try to not.
Well, it's about the
while going 90 miles an hour.
Cruising, right? You know, that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
I do everything to avoid getting the speed wobbles.
Again, another question that might sound like ignorance, but apparently there are no bad questions. Can you listen to me? Can you use earplugs when you're riding?
Earplugs?
For music, like AirPods or something. Can you?
I think you probably could.
But you wouldn't want to?
I wouldn't, because you've got to concentrate.
Yeah.
Because you've got to watch the road, and in a car, if you hit a little pothole, it's not a big deal. But if you hit a pothole on a bike.
I think it's even the same for people in the car when you see them with like full on noise canceling headphones.
Not good.
I'm like, pretty scary.
Yeah, because people could toot at you. Or
I thought it was illegal.
I don't know. No, I see it all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, I think you can get like things that you put in your bike so you can talk to your partner. Like, say, if your partner's riding behind you, you can get like a little Bluetooth jobby that you can speak to them.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that plays the radio or whatever, but I
yeah, because it wouldn't be something that you, do you talk, like if you could dip, would it be something you talk the whole time?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's like constant, just the whole trip. As long as you don't get too far apart, then it would just stay in contact the whole time.
I think that would be the hardest thing for me riding a bike is if, like, you know, you're at the front, someone's at the back, you're like, I've got something to tell him.
It has to be right now.
I need to tell them something right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to forget. It's gone.
The thing for me is when we go riding and we're going somewhere that I don't know the place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, what if everyone goes and I don't know where to turn and then I'm going to get lost and I'm going to be by myself. Like, I just freak out. But usually everybody sort of stops at like Tairua and then, you know, the next place, so nobody gets lost. But it's always like such a, oh God, I'm going to be by myself. Oh no, like freaking out.
Do you feel like it's a welcoming community? Like you have Facebook groups and like tell me a little bit about like the commune, you know, like the people getting together to do that. How is that in New Zealand?
I think it's I don't really know too much because I'm pretty new to bikes myself. Like, I've only been riding for probably 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But like the group that we go with, they're super lovely. Like, everybody's so nice. And you know, if I'm doing something wrong, they'll be like, well, there's one guy, Stumpy, who we go riding with. He'll be like, you know, you're doing great, but maybe just instead of doing this, do this. And super nice. Like, I don't know. I don't speak for the whole country.
But how you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I love taking my bike out. Like, I just think it's the coolest thing. And like, when you see other people on their bikes and you just give them a little wave and it's just the coolest. When we go riding, we normally stop at like a pub and then a cafe and whatever, and there's always heaps of bikes there, and you just yarn with people about their bikes, and they want to know where you're from. And yeah, very, very cool.
Nice. I ask because there's this thing of also gangs, and it, you know, there's a lot of other connotations, there's a lot of other, you know, things that people connect with. So does that bother you in a way? Like,
no, I mean, not me. Like, I can understand that people have reservations about, you know, bikes and gangs and da 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 da, but I mean, you can obviously, it's hard to keep them separate because obviously they are such a conjoined thing. And when you see a gang on a pack of motorcycles, you think, oh God, we'll stay away from them. Mm.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard, really. I don't really, like, I just want to, I want to ride my bike with my pals and have a good time. Yeah. But I did see we went for a ride and there was like a group of maybe 300 bikes and they were predominantly gang members, but they were doing a charity ride, you know, so they all put in money for, I can't remember the charity, but like they were doing a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's not all bad. Like it's not all bad.
And it's such a tricky one, isn't it? Because, you know, you will see people demonizing gangs on the television, you know, like, oh, gangs. But like, everybody's part of the community. You know, it's a society.
Yeah.
There must be a problem why, you know, it carries on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, and not many people want to address those problems and communicate, you know, like it's very, again, like I mentioned Brazil a lot because it's my cultural background, you know, but like, it's the same with the favelas, you know, the slums, people like where people build those houses on like hills, they're like very, like they don't have sewage or anything, you know, like people straight away connect with thieves and, you know, people who, but then you go there, it's a lot of community work.
They're the nicest people you'd ever meet.
Oh, man, you know, people getting together, doing things, you know, like, so I'm always very careful when people mention gang members, especially like sometimes at school or young people like wearing, you can tell that they're kind of like making a reference with a collar or something. Mm. And then you're like, well, we all look for that. We all look for a connection, for a hub, you know, some people connect with the people at the church, some people connect with the bikers. Exactly. If your reality is the gang is what's happening at home.
Especially when you're brought up with it, what else do you know?
What else do you know?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm always up for a conversation about those subjects, you know, like, because it's easy to say, those guys. And you're like, well, they might be doing cool things for the community and you don't even know.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's so, like a guy that I know. He's quite a big, stocky Maori guy, and he's got his whole face tattooed in like a tamaku, like his whole face, and he looks like he's like a scary man.
He's gonna get you, man.
But he's the nicest person I've ever met.
As soon as they speak, you're like
the night, like that would do anything for anybody. Yeah. But like people would probably be a bit scared of him because he looks a bit, you know, a bit whatever.
Do you feel like that as well when you've got like your leathers on, you roll up in a bike gang and everyone, do you feel people a
especially
little bit intimidated?
Especially because I've got a lot of tattoos myself.
Yeah. So for the people listening to this show, is there any more space on your arms, Jess?
I've got a little bit left. A little bit left up here and under here. Yeah. A little bit left.
Is it just your arms you've got sleeves?
Oh, I've got my legs. Some on my legs. Some on my front and my back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many? Forgot. Gone.
70, 80 maybe. A lot. Hey. Too many.
Okay. So talk about the way that people see you and then we go back to the tattoos.
Well, I think it's like people would look at me and think, whoa, she's got lots of tattoos. But I think I'm pretty approachable. I'll talk to anybody. I'll have a conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing. Like it's all in the way you are. You know, if I was like really rude to someone and I looked the way I look, they'd probably be like, But I try not to be like that.
Yeah.
Have you suffered anything like that?
Absolutely.
I would think. Absolutely. I would think that because New Zealand has it as a cultural thing, you know, like for the Maori people, it's just part of what it is. Yeah. It's cultural. And then I always had this impression. And you see police officers with tattoos, you know, so I always had that thing of like, this is cool. This is progressive, but not for everybody sometimes.
I hate to say it, but I think like the older generation, they don't really vibe with tattoos, which is totally fine.
It's not even tattoos though. They come in on your hair color if it's not your natural.
Yeah, like, literally.
It doesn't matter.
So I think that's probably where I would get the most like looks, I would say. Yeah, you know, a bit of a side eye.
Yeah.
But like it doesn't really, because I've had them for years, so it doesn't really bother me. Like I would look in the mirror and I wouldn't even notice them now, you know, because I've just had them for so many years.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got your first one?
16.
16.
Yeah, my 16th birthday.
Which one?
Oh, it's pretty bad, this one here. What do you think that says?
Wait,
maybe
your mic a bit.
Come on, Christine, help me.
No.
Life's too short.
Oh, well done.
Life's too short. The foreigner got it, guys.
I did think the last word said ghost. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, was it saying?
Life's too ghost.
Yeah.
That's what I get all the time. So that was my first one.
That's cool, yes. Okay.
So I went with my mum on my 16th birthday, and I remember her being like,
shout out to mum.
When you regret this, I'm going to tell you I told you so.
Yeah. So you're like, Try and get covered. Get a bigger one.
And you're still alive, you know? It's not even that short. It's good, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Doing well so far.
And from there, from 16, it was just like non-stop.
I think
Did you have that?
It's addictive. It's addictive.
Did you have it in mind when you were 16? You were like, I just want to cover myself. And then
It just happened.
Yeah.
I think I went, when I turned 17, I went probably like every month, once a month to get a tattoo.
Nice. Yeah. Yep.
So bad.
This is the thing though. It's like, please stay expensive so bad. That I don't get covered. Because if you were cheap and affordable, me.
Literally, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
And what about choosing them? Because some people are very precious. Some people are just like, that's what I want. I don't care.
It's that was me when I was young. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's cool. I'll do that.
Yeah.
But I wish I had thought about it maybe a little bit more. Like now that I'm older, the last tattoo I got was all this through here.
So cool. When was that?
This was probably maybe a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Local?
Yeah, a guy called Paul Collier. I don't know if you guys know Paul Collier. He used to work at Evolution in town, but he's now moved over to Bohemian over in Tauranga.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
He's a cool guy. Yeah. He does a good job.
No, I think everyone's got at least one or two tattoos where they're like, chuck it on.
Yeah.
I've got at least two,
yeah,
maybe
me too.
Three.
So when you were talking about your kiwifruit before, it reminded me of when Kelly and I.
I would bring that up, the shared tattoo.
So when it was my birthday and she was like, oh, what should we do? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And she said, should we get a matching tattoo? And so we used to like eat avocados together all the time. So we got a matching tattoo of an avocado. So she's got one half and I've got the other half.
Oh, that's cute though. I like that. At least you got a cool story to it.
That's probably like my most meaningful tattoo that I've got. Like,
who's got the bit?
Oh, I can't remember. I think she's
remember, Jess.
You're like
I think she's got the pit.
We're not going to ask you to show. It's all right. You'll find out.
I can if you want.
Yes, please.
Okay, I kind of do, yeah. Of
course. Which should I go for? Here?
This one is yours. Yeah. Taylor will tell you and the boys will tell you.
I think it's
almost open camera or this one, Taylor?
Can
you
see it?
Holy hair care.
Hey, can you see it from there?
Can you see it?
You guys?
Yeah.
Oh, down. Over here.
Oh yeah, look at that. Boom, zoom.
Whoa,
yes.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Sorry. And it's in colour, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so and Kelly's got the other half.
Yeah, so
and hopefully
there you go, Kelly.
Well, I think that's, did they have a pip? I can't.
No, yours didn't.
No.
Oh, perfect. So she must have a pip.
She's got a bit.
Yeah.
Did it hurt there? It seems, looks like a bit of a sensitive spot. Yeah.
Where's the sorest
probably
for you?
The tops of my feet.
I've got one on the top of my foot and it was so sore. I felt like I was like, I'm going to kick you in the face.
Or like, I've got one up here.
Yeah.
Which is like quite bad too. Yeah. And like along.
And see, I thought fingers would be sorer, but the foot was way, way worse.
And in here?
Oh, Jess. Jess is showing
me
the palms of her hands, guys, for the people listening.
How old are those ones?
High five.
I think, this one's quite old.
Yeah. I had
maybe two or three.
I had my fingertips. My first ones were my thumbs. I had two smiley faces.
And they're gone.
Yeah, obviously they wash off because you wash your hands often. Yeah, I guess you're in sheds and whatnot. But
yeah.
Sure. That wasn't so, it was ticklish. Ticklish. It was a weird sensation getting your thumbs tattooed.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
Braver
no,
than
not
me.
Sore. Not sore.
Not sore. Just
it just like on
yeah,
your.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, just scratch you real quick.
any other matching tattoos? Or that was the one?
No. Oh, actually, so my Paul Collier, who we were speaking about earlier, we did this little. This is like a symbol that they use in. Like mental health awareness, this symbol here. So he did one on me. This is semicolon.
Mm.
So he did one on me and I got to tattoo one on him.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool. Like it was the first time I've done a little tattoo and it was really hard.
Yeah.
Like I was like, how hard do I push down? Like,
I was
he was probably watching you like,
what are you doing?
I was about to ask that. Have you ever got into giving it a go? Did you think about it?
Nah, I did this little one, like this one on him, and it was horrific. Like, it was just so bad. It looks so bad now. Like, it's bled out everywhere. It's so bad.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it takes so much practice. I have so much appreciation for a tattoo artist. Like, it just looks so hard.
I know, and when you get tattoos and they're not sore, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. yeah.
Were you always lucky with the post, like the time after getting the tattoo? Because some people get the information, some people get were you always okay?
Yeah, usually fine. I mean, you sort of kind of get used to it. It just kind of feels like, I don't, have you got any tattoos?
Yeah.
You know how it sort of just gets a bit itchy and then flakes off and then, you know, you're all done.
I think only the hand ones I was most worried about.
Mm.
And I was like, don't touch them, don't.
But yeah, you're like, don't get gross stuff don't get on yucky. Them. And,
But you never, like, thought about, I'll give this a go, maybe a career would be cool. Nah. I'm already into it anyway.
I quite like, drawing and artsy sort of kind of things, but nah. I mean, I thought about it, but not for me.
You studied in Fitzanga, Mercury Bay Area School?
Yep, sure did.
How do they call it? Lifer? Were you like...
Yep, I was.
Hey, so what does a lifer mean for the people who...
So when you start school in Fitzanga and then you do your whole schooling, like you don't, you know, leave back or anything, you just do your whole lot of schooling. So I think it's from year five up to year 12.
Year one.
5 year olds. Year one up to year 12 when you do your whole stretch.
Yeah.
Were you good at school?
I was all right at school.
I was all right.
I think I was pretty. I mean, I got all of my, what do you call them? Certificates and stuff. I did all the stuff I needed to do. I was all right. Yeah, I mean, I see now some of the teachers that I had at school and they're still there and I'm like, oh, how was I as a student? They're like, yeah, you were all right, you were fine.
Yeah.
I'm like,
what subjects did you choose when you had the chance at like those last years that you can kind of don't remember?
It was a long time ago. I honestly couldn't even tell you. Maybe
I'm always curious because sometimes people ask, you know, like for the children, oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? And it feels like not an obligation, but like it feels like what you choose at that time, it will lead. Yeah,
where did you go?
yeah. But not your thing.
I should have probably been, because I do want to join the police, but I was researching about it and you don't really need anything more than just your normal stuff that you, your normal stuff. You don't need anything extra to join the police force because you do all your pre-studying. So you'd go and do it like a 12-week course. Mm. Yeah. And then, you know, you get selected to join whatever part of the police force you want to go for, and then you just go from there.
It's just more the physical side, which everyone sort of trains for, isn't it? Because I can't remember how many minutes you have to get this run in, but that's like the main thing that everyone goes for.
You got to be super fit. Mm. Well, you don't have to be super fit, but you know, you've got to
be ready.
There's a run you have to do to get through.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
What are the main differences, because you've been here for so long? Like, what do you remember clearly that is so different from when you were a teenager and what's happening now in this town?
I think the school's a lot bigger.
Mm.
It's one of the main things. Like,
it keeps
expanding.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
They've put in a lot of extra buildings.
I think 1,100 students at the moment. Wow. Oh, pretty sure.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think there was only maybe 600 or 700. When I was there.
That's still a lot, isn't it?
Still a lot of students, though.
So how, not asking your age, but how long ago were you at school?
Oh, God. It'd be 10 years? Not 11 years?
Yeah. And you can tell big differences from...
Yeah.
What about in town? What about Fitzanga? Do you remember, like, before the waterways and
I remember when... So, you know, when you go past the school, so coming from town, you go past the school, there used to be a bridge there. Like, you go right down the end, you know how the waterways comes in?
Yeah.
Used to be a bridge there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you used to be able to drive over there and go into the Moai Park area.
Right.
Yeah. Like a long, long time ago.
Well,
so can you not get to that way now?
No.
Do you have to go back past Mobile and stuff to get more? Because I always wonder, because obviously I'm not from here, but I don't drive around there often, but I did think, is here another way to get here?
No, there used to be a bridge, but obviously they had to get rid of it.
I heard many people saying how it changed the evacuation system for this school.
Yeah, because you got to go...
Oh, man, detour. It's a long walk, bro. Mm. And every time that I'm doing that walk, and I'm like, thank God there's not a wave coming here right now, man. God damn it.
Yeah.
It's like you only needed the come on, kids.
Yeah.
Don't run.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Like, I would be running if there was a tsunami. There you go, Papa. Coming.
That's for you. Yeah. I know, right? Oh. God damn, run. Yeah, but
I would not be walking. Like,
it's a long walk, man. Yeah. It's a long walk, bro. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the mathematics are.
They have little babies, like not babies, but like 5-year-olds. They don't exactly walk very fast or far.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
They'd have to get the notification in quick smart.
Yeah.
Evacuating a whole school must be such a...
I would literally just put like 20 kids in my car and be like, come on, let's go.
Shout out to those teachers, because they get organized so quickly. Yeah. And it's like, I've seen it. I've been to a couple of drills, but I think that was one that we actually had. The one that was a morning one. Remember what?
Maybe not long ago, was
not
it?
Not long ago.
Like, one actual year? Warning.
Yep. Yeah. And man, we moved there. We moved quickly. And it's pretty efficient. I'm not saying that it's like inefficient, but it just looks a bit of a mission, you know. You're like, wow, this is a stretch.
Yeah. I wonder what the parents feel like, because my son goes to kindy here, and on their wall they have the evacuation like point, and they're like, we pretty much chuck all the kids in the car and we go up this hill. And I'm like, perfect, like who cares about car seats, just chuck them in,
whack them in, no worries.
How many can you fit?
I don't know, if you got a van, chuck 50 pack in if in. You have to. Yeah, just get them in and out.
Do you have a story with the siren, with the evacuation siren?
Not that I can think of. But I was just thinking, do they go? Because they go to the rugby field, the sports park, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that safe from a tsunami?
I don't know, because isn't it by the water?
Yeah, it's pretty flat up until there, isn't it?
Kindy goes up Centennial Drive, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's higher ground. Is that what it is? Taylor, do you remember that? It's higher ground, eh? The area that they say Moe? Yeah, apparently it's
higher.
Yeah.
So it's
something.
It doesn't feel that safe to me.
Nah, it feels all flat.
Waterways.
It looks pretty flat.
Yeah.
I mean, the waterways is not far away from there.
No.
Like, and the kids walk right down past the waterways, over the bridge.
So there's information here. Just Jack is with us here today.
Shout out to Jack. Yeah.
No, I was just, I was under the impression it was had to be 20 meters above sea level. So that will be a slow, gradual rise until Moai Park will be just.
What
above
if it's
level.
A really big wave? Like, I don't.
Scale a bit higher.
Just walk a little bit further.
Then we'll get a little three-piece orchestra, like right. Titanic.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks, Jack. Thanks. Shout out to Jack. Yeah, Jack and Taylor, man. Look at that team.
Who is Jack? Christian could let the audience know who.
Oh, who is Jack? That is. My husband.
Yay. Teamwork.
Beautiful one that doesn't have a camera.
Yeah.
Avoiding the cameras, eh, Jack?
Once again, shout out to Granny for watching the kids for us.
Shout out to Granny.
Yay.
Nice. Okay, and then you finished school and then you stayed in Fitianga. What was the first job after you finished school?
Oh, I was working at the Fitianga Hotel.
Oh yeah, yeah, good yep. old.
So I started here when go. I was 16, just being
really
a little.
Jazz.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I actually was working there when I was still at school. So I was just working like after, you know, doing the 5 to 9 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and then I was just a little glassy, like picking up plates and cups and
grooving,
or not?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a cool environment for that age. Yeah. Like I was the same working in bars and around drunkens and stuff, and you're like, this is pretty cool. Like.
Absolutely loved it. And then I...
Who was the manager at the time? Let's see. Let's check your memory.
I can't remember.
Oh, good. Carry on.
That was like a long time ago. Not
too long, but it's pretty long.
And then what was I doing? I worked there for a long time. And then I went away and did some studying in Auckland and worked in a couple of bars up there.
What were you studying in Auckland?
I did just like a bartending course. So I did bartending course and then I worked in a bar like serving
cocktails. Did you feel like it helped? The car
it was cool. Yeah. Like I met some cool people.
Yeah.
Who I don't speak to now. So.
But no, great, it was cool. Though, they're great.
That was cool when I got to work in a bar and, you know, serve really cool cocktails and it was really, really cool.
Mm.
I think back then I remember I was getting paid like $14 an hour though. Oh, so it was it was nothing. Like minimum nothing. And then I came back and I ended up working back at the Fitianga Hotel. And I think I might have worked there for maybe a year and a half. And then I ended up running it.
Was it the time that we met? Probably, 2014? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I remember, that first. Because I had the end of a summer here.
Mm.
And then the following on 2014-15, I think that's when we got that hub that you had, the Fitianga Hotel hub. I was working out on fire, and I remember that you were managing not much after that. So I think that was around there, 14-15.
And then I don't think I didn't manage it for that long. And then that's when I ended up moving to Australia after that, I'm pretty sure. So I went straight from doing that to moving to Australia. I worked in a brewery over there, which was so super cool.
Yeah.
So I got to like just hang out and drink
beer. What part of the process were you into?
So I was mostly just in the bar serving and stuff, but I would help out. We'd do like brewery tours and things on a Sunday. So because we were right next to the hostel, so we'd do like these free brewery tours. So we would just like take people through and show them how it all worked, and you know, show them like hops in there, before they're dried format and blah blah blah, and then show them all the vats and the whatever, and then we'd do like a beer tasting thing afterwards. So we just get like a jug of each flavor of beer, and then everybody would just like do a taster.
There you go, kids, looking for a job.
Yeah,
brewery. Listen to Jess.
Oh, it was the best. So we would just like sit down with all these cool cats on a Sunday and drink beer. Nice. Oh, it was just the best. It was so cool.
We had Adam here from Blue Fridge Brewing.
Oh, he's a cool dude, isn't he? He's so cool.
Because
so cool.
Like we chatted about that. He also worked at Salt. Maybe you guys worked together for a little bit. Or no, he said the Piano Bar. But for some reason, I have the impression that
Piano Bar is now with that Curry
that
Place.
That Curry Place is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That was cool. My time here. I've only ever known it as the Curry Place.
Mm. Yeah, a few different things in Fitziang. And that's why I'm asking you about like these differences, because for me, it's been a while. It's been like pretty much 9 years, 8 years and a half. And so I imagine for you, you know, like watching all these changes. And the hotel was so different, eh?
Yeah.
You know, like nowadays they're doing a good thing. They're trying to bring different things. But I think the tourists made the vibe.
Absolutely.
Eh?
Yeah. And obviously there's none coming in now because they can't. Yeah. So it's a bit harder. And also I think like the rules now are a lot harsher with, you know, shots and all the rest of it, so it just makes it a little bit harder.
What's the thing with shots?
I just think that because there was I don't know what happened 100%, but I think they just had a bit of a drama with people being too intoxicated at some point,
right?
And then so they had to sort of dial it back, and then that sort of
is this just at the Fitianga Hotel in particular?
I don't 100% know.
Not that I go and take shots anywhere, but if I felt like it, I know when not to go.
No, but like this is something that like I'm pretty sure it came to public that there were some issues in the hotel, and then they changed the opening hours.
Only come in until this time, and then you're not like if you leave, you're not allowed back in, and da 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 da.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to having like more places bringing music. And have you been to the Monkey Theater recently?
No, I haven't.
You
should. Is it good?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. The couple running the place, they're super cool.
Cool.
Molly's Kiwi and Casper, he's from New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And they love rock and roll. And cool. They had the burlesque show. I think there's one. Oh,
I saw that there was the burlesque
show. It's tomorrow. Shout out to Molly and Casper. Burlesque show at the Monkey Theater tomorrow.
That's cool.
Have a look. Yeah. They're great. Awesome. And they just turned like that front into like a cool.
It's a cool venue there. I remember when we were back in the hospo days, we were like hiring it out for people's birthday parties because you can go up on the roof and you know, there's like that sort of little dance floor area. Like, it's a cool venue. Very, very
I've
cool.
I've never been in there. I want to go.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Because there's the theater.
Yeah.
And then there's a cinema at the back.
Because it's on Cold Curl, eh?
Yep.
Yes.
Number 18.
and they sold the building. So, they're kind of like negotiating to see if they're going to keep the body. I'm pretty sure it's gonna go ahead, but yeah. I just have like great memory, especially because like On Fire was cool at the time where I was working, and Luke's Kitchen was different. The vibe was different. It's great. It's still fantastic, but it was smaller,
different back then. Wasn't
different
it?
Day. Yeah. Mm. Look at us. Good old times.
Back in the day.
The good old times back in the days. Yeah. But it was right. I was talking to Richie last night about it because he's still what a guy. Eh?
Oh, the best.
Yep.
The best. He's very cool.
Yes. And we were just chatting about it. He's like, oh yeah. I said, man, Jess is coming to the show. He's like, yeah, man, the resistance, you know, like we're still around, man. I'm like, yeah, man, we're still around. And we always talk about that, like how it's shifting. Like it's
good old days.
Yeah. What do we have to do, Jess? What's happening? How do we bring more action to this place?
I don't know if I don't think I can do it anymore. I think I'm just too old. I gotta get it. Like we were out the other night having a drink, and it was like our food was taking a little bit long to arrive, and it was 8 o'clock, and I was getting nervous. I was like, I gotta go home soon. I gotta go to bed.
Yeah,
that's just what my life is now.
Like I wouldn't even should I even mention that I don't drink anymore? Look at it. Yeah, it's been a while.
Awesome.
What is the night that's like awesome. Like here? Like I don't mean you just you don't.
I don't really know. You'd know more than me.
Oh, I mean you go out, but you don't drink.
Yeah,
right?
But for me, it's more about the music. Yeah, you know, like so. For example, now we have 2 karaoke nights. You know, like so, Vegas Brown is running one on Thursday. And then
Smitty's.
Yep. And then there's one at the hotel on Fridays. Mm. So like, I just go for the fun, you know, like I like to see people and, you know, I like to socialize. So for me, it's more about.
Recruit guests for the podcast.
Yeah. Have a look. Yeah. Check the vibe, you know, you got to do the work, always working.
Imagine if you were if you still drink, how many people you'd invite? Just come next week.
No, and I'll tell you what, like, I'm already feeling like what's going to be. And I told Fabian about that. Yeah. Fabian is one of the co-hosts. Mm. And we work at this school. And I was telling him, I said, man, be ready because people will come to you. And people start telling me stories. Mm. Like, they just come to me. Hey, man, saw you on the podcast. And, man, my auntie, man, the other day. And I'm like,
yeah,
cool man. Here we go, and I listen, you know, and that's
so cool.
Yeah, I feel bad to say, hey, you know, like I'm just trying to. No, I'm not trying anything. Yeah. Actually, tell me more about Auntie Lucy.
Yeah,
and little Johnny doesn't have an eye, and then you were traumatized because the dog died. You know, like it gets like weird, man. But I love it.
Give you some quality content to share.
Yeah, I know, right? Like maybe for the next shows when we start some different formats, I can use those stories as well.
Yeah, send in a story you want us to tell.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll write a list.
That's a cool one.
Cool pub stories. Yeah. Jazz, you mentioned the dairy farm.
Oh,
how long did you do that for?
So the story with the bike. So that was my partner's dad's dairy farm. So we were living on farm, but my partner was working on the farm, and I just sort of helped out.
Your partner, your current partner.
Yeah. So we don't live there anymore, but we were just. So I was just living there and sort of helping out, milking occasionally, and you know a little bit of.
Is the farm still going? Is the farm still there?
No, it's. So do you know where the solar farm's going? In town? So you know when you're driving out of town and you go, so do you know where Wade Road is?
I know where Wade Road, yeah.
Which way are we driving out of town?
Like towards Tyrua.
Okay, yep.
Do you know where the Pony Club is?
No. Sorry.
You're super local, Aegis. God damn it. Like, man, come on. She can tell the name of the person. You know the Pony Club, Lucy and Clayton?
I don't know. So
number three?
Down there.
I'll Google it later.
Yeah. So
it's just out of town. Yeah.
Just out of town.
Yeah.
On the left. Do you know where the?
You are Google.
Got to clap 3 times.
Do you know where you turn right to go into the 309?
Yes.
So just back from that.
Yeah.
There's a farm on the not the very the one closest to the road, but back one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually where the solar farm's going. So that's where my partner and used to farm in there. So we lived there for quite a while, and then we moved off the farm. But actually, my job before my current job, I was working on a dairy farm, which was so cool. I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah.
The dairy farm job or the one? Yep.
The dairy farm. Yeah, the one just before my current job now.
Right. Yeah.
It was very, very cool.
How? What? Tell me the routine.
Oh.
How is it?
Up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pick up if you're being ironic or not, but let's go. Let's do it's also a podcast. Some people are listening to this, you know, so we got to be quite, you know, informative. We got to describe things. It's okay.
The farm that I was working on is out in Coraglin. I would leave from, because normally when you work on a dairy farm, you're given a house to live in. Which is super easy, you know, you just get up at, because we were starting at 4:30.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd get up at 4:25 and just, you know, drive over the road. Yeah.
The cows don't pick that time, eh?
No.
Like, you guys do.
No, so they pick that time because you have to have.
They schedule themselves.
Book me in for 4:30. Christine took a second. She's like,
I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, book me in for 4:30.
Is it the rooster? No, it's the cow.
Oh. No, but they have to, You have to milk them like twice a day.
Yeah.
Sorry. Carry on, Jess. Well,
the reason they do it that early is because you have to have a certain amount of hours in between. So the cows have to like eat a certain amount, and they need a certain amount of hours on grass in between. Because we do twice a day.
Is that legally?
Well, I just think it's just for the health of the cows, and to, you know, because if you just milk the life out of them, obviously they're not going to do very well.
Yeah.
But
then you put a machine on their tits.
Yeah.
Sorry. Carry on.
So yeah, I was getting up at ridiculous. It was
how past
like
early?
Oh, yeah. Like 10 to 4. You know, getting up that early. And then driving out to Corriglen, working from 4:30 in the morning till, you know, sort of 5:30 in the afternoon. And because it was out in Corriglen, I'd just stay there all day. So I was pretty much on farm like 13 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like long days.
Yeah.
And I'd work, so 8 days on, 2 days off, and then 9 days on, 2 days off. Yeah, I was doing like 80, probably 75, 80 hours a week.
How many people were working with you at the time can remember?
So there was the two farm owners who just sort of helped out, you know. And then there's a farm manager, and then myself and another guy on the farm.
Not many, okay.
And I was the only girl, so.
Mm.
Wow.
It's cool.
A lot of handling things, carrying.
Driving tractors, you know.
What was the hardest? What was like, oh man.
Wait, did you grow up with that as well? Like, did you grow up on a farm around farm animals?
Not really on a farm, but I was always sort of, you know, friends with
to it. Yeah.
Like I've always been around animals and I've always really liked farms. I think now that I've done it as a job, I wouldn't do dairy ever again, just because it's just such hard work and there's so much that goes into it. Like, you know, the cows need so much food and they need so much looking after, and then, you know, they have their calves and then they're straight back in the shed, and then you know, sometimes I don't keep all the calves. Like, it's such a hard industry. Yeah, I just don't think I would do it. I think if I was going to do farming, it would
Did you feel bad at some stage of like, oh man, this is hard to watch? I always think about the calves, you know, like seeing them
Not easy.
Very hard. And we'd have, you know, some that would die, unfortunately, and it's just such a hard thing because, you know, it's a little fluffy calf.
And the mum will be obviously sad.
And when we have to, because I started, I think it was halfway through calving. So it's, when you have to take the calves away from their mums, it's pretty sad. Like, you sort of get used to it, which is an awful thing to say. Literally shed a tear.
Yeah, just like, crying. I'm so sorry.
The animals cry as well.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we'd have to put them in a trailer and then the mums would just be
crying.
You know,
crying.
Oh, so you would drive them too, Jess?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So we'd, you know, put them in the trailer and then we'd drive up the race with these calves and then their mums would follow us up the race and... Yeah, just real
emotional. Hard
out.
Have you watched that the documentary Milked?
No,
I still want to watch.
You should.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
It's free. Yeah. Have you heard about it? Do you even? Okay, so there's this lady. She came to the show. Her name is Amy Taylor, and she's a film director. And so she. It's a beautiful film. Like, well, beautiful. Maybe it's not the word, but like very informative.
Eye opening
is a better word.
I've watched
a short
of it.
And what people get confused, a lot of people criticize without even watching the film because New Zealand has this huge dairy farm culture, and it's something that the families are all part of it. You know, so people, it's very easy for people to demonize whoever is talking about that. But like her take, it's actually different. It's saying the big guys, you know, the big companies take a lot of advantage and the farmers actually struggle a lot. And just by what you just said, you know, like 8 days in and then two
it's
off.
Lots of work.
Hours. And so she talks to a lot of farmers who know people who committed suicide or go like have depression and all that stuff. And like, and of course, gets to the health as well and the way that the animals are looked after. But eye-opening, I think, it's a great word because it's easy for people in New Zealand. It's easier for me also to see that because I'm not from here. Like, it seems like it's an American problem. You know, like, it's happening over there, you know, like it's, and then you see like, it's actually happening.
And dairy farming is, I think, one of, if not the most dangerous job in New Zealand. I think there's dairy farming and forestry are right up there, right at the top. Yeah, because there's so much, you know, big machinery and, you know, like on most farms there'll be paddocks, and then down the side there's drains. You know, like if you say if you drive too fast and you go in the drain and the bike's on top of you, you dust. You know,
right.
And then no one's around because
that's
you.
Wow.
You know, and there's tractors and there's all sorts, like big machinery. So you got to be so careful.
Were there a lot of cows? Like, was it a big?
Or yeah,
was
I think we were 500.
What?
Yeah, so that's a lot. It's a lot of cows. So we had two different herds. So we'd have a herd of older cows,
wow,
and then a herd of younger cows. But that's like, you know, 500 cows equals 500 calves. So that's cows you have to pick up off the ground. And then I think they were quite good out there. They would keep most of them, like as many as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously not all of them, unfortunately.
Right. So there was nothing to do with beef. No, there was just
so actually that farm I worked on, they have a runoff which is just up the road, and they keep some beef cows. I think they keep beef cows, or they keep the calves to sell. But mostly dairy. Like mostly you'd keep some dairy heifer replacements for your, you know, for your older cows that you're getting rid of.
Yeah. Have you ever done any job related to farms?
No, because the cows scare me a little.
Fair enough.
Especially when they wake you up at 4 a.m.
You know, just the size of them and like how unpredictable they are, and no.
Unpredictable.
I don't know. They're a whole animal.
Give that look, like you don't know what they're up to.
I don't know, they might kick me or something, so it freaks me out.
Crazy.
Yeah. We had
thanks, Christine. That was super cool.
When I was younger, a family friend had a cow, and we were allowed to milk it and stuff, but I think she was just so used hand milk it. I think she was just so used to us and people and stuff that it was fine, but you know.
Yeah. Especially the young ones. Like when you get new cow, like new heifers in the shed, and they've never been milked before, and they go, "What the heck is this thing you're putting on my boobies?" Like, I'm not into this. Oh yeah.
Yeah, see that freaks me out.
And they just kick him. And also, I feel sorry for them.
I'd just be like, "Oh, I'll help you escape." I don't know.
I'll let you out. Oh, we'd have because when you get bulls on farm, we get the cows in to be milked, and then sometimes the bulls would come up in the. Where the cow stand, so we'd have to like get these bulls out. Oh, it was just hard work.
Yeah,
and bulls are super dangerous, like super dangerous. So you gotta be super careful of them. Well, so they just.
I mean, I know you're not for all of that because you don't eat.
Nah, not at all.
But have you been on a farm and helped in?
No. Oh, in Brazil, as a child, like that would be the school trip to the farm, and then you sit on the lap of good old Joseph, you know, he's been doing that for 65 years, and then you're sitting on his lap, he's already not great, and then you're holding tits that are not yours. So it was not a great experience, you know, like, and there's a proper way, right? You gotta,
look
at this. This is a clip, hey, Leo, trying to make the proper way of holding the tits.
I can't even remember.
Has no clue about holding tits, hey, Leo, look at you. Has never done it before. Anyway, there's...
Guys, we've gone south real quick.
Oh goodness.
Thanks, children.
Yeah.
Become a YouTuber. There's a future there. It's a prolific industry. Anyway, I didn't like the experience of going for
sitting on his lap and milking
the
cow.
Good old Joseph's lap and milking the cow. So it was never a thing. And I grew up in the city, like concrete jungle. Yeah. I was probably bothered about like stepping on grass.
Are you sure you didn't milk Joseph?
Now you grab the tits. I thought I was Joseph. No. No. Shout out
for another show.
Hey, I'm sure there's a picture. I'm not joking. Geez. Because because I remember that it was a thing for kindergarten. We would go to the farm, and Lorelai, my sister, if you're watching this, probably not.
Send it in.
Have a look. Yeah, I would love to find that picture. We'll put it on the show because it was. But that was a part.
Could
of
use that like, picture as the clip.
I know,
the
right?
Front of this.
Yes, we'll find it. But yeah, it was part of the thing.
Please
introducing.
Don't make us thinking we can milk cows. A clip, guys. No. I'm just thinking about the clips that we make at the end of the same. Not this.
Not
all of us trying to milk.
I can't really remember.
come on, Jess, a pro. We need a pro.
I can't remember. No, I remember like using like two.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a great clip.
Yeah, don't make it a clip.
Fantastic. I can't remember.
No. Okay, but like that was not part of the job, right? You would put the machine. Mm. The machine does the thing.
Yeah, so the machine obviously does most of the job, but sometimes you got to milk them out because sometimes cows get mastitis, and you know you got to milk out all the gross stuff that's in there. So sometimes you have to do it by hand, but you know more often than not with the cups.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Christine, no. We gotta do something with like cow. They're unpredictable.
Yeah,
like we gotta do something about
that.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I love that. I can see that you're not comfortable talking about this.
I feel like they just freak me out. Yeah, it's fine.
That's like a lot of people. A lot of people are the same about
and horses.
Yeah, I was gonna say horses.
Horses freak me out.
Yeah,
because it's a massive animal.
It's a massive animal.
Yeah. See, I grew up.
It's sneaky feet. I've heard in the past, people don't like the sneaky feet. I don't know how they can be sneaky. They've got metal shoes that are stuck
sneaky
to them.
Oh my word.
And the face is like, you know, they're long.
Yeah.
No. What a show. This is great. Horses. I'm loving this. Thanks, Jack. That was cool. Do you ride horses?
So I
there you go.
I
That's
have.
A good question.
So actually, I feel like there's a lot of in between, because I grew up riding horses. That's always like was my thing, and the last time I had a horse was probably only a couple of years ago. So there's a lot of similarities between sort of riding a horse and riding a motorcycle, because it's all about balance, and you know you got to stay up on top of it. There's a lot of similarities, so I feel like that's why I sort of at the start I was very like, oh, this is not for me, but then I sort of was like, oh, maybe I just need to do it like this, and then it all sort of just started to make sense in my head of what I was doing. Yeah.
Which one is harder?
Oh, horse, I would say.
Which one's more expensive?
Because they are unpredictable. Yeah,
and they've got a mind of their own. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a mind of their own.
Fantastic. I'm loving this. Jazz, you know what I was thinking before, like before we started the show, like, oh, this is something cool to talk about. Some of the things that you really love in your life. For a lot of people, unfortunately, it sounds like a man thing.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, riding the bike. Oh, the tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, like, so, I don't know. How do you deal with all those things? Like, with people giving you the look or just thinking, like, why do you do that? Does it happen to you or you don't even?
It does. It definitely happens. But it's just sort of like water off a duck's back for me. Like, I'm so used to it. Because as I said, I've had tattoos for, you know, near on 10 years. So it's just something that I'm used to. Mm. And like people can behave however they want. That's nothing to do with me. Like if you want to be a dick, that's fine. It's nothing to do with me. That's how you are, not how I am.
Yes.
You know, like if you want to say rude things to me, I don't really care. Whatever makes you happy, live your life, you know, whatever.
And the mindset, eh? Like that's the thing. Like,
And I know that I'm a pretty good person. Like I'm not a dick, so it doesn't really worry me what anyone else says or what anyone else thinks about me, like at all.
Oh,
so
that's good. I bet mom was always supportive.
She had her reservations, especially with the bike. Like, and actually, because my partner's mum rides as well. So she was always like, oh, I don't know, like, but we were always like, well, you ride, so surely it's fine for us to ride, because she doesn't really like Daniel riding either. But Daniel was, like, he's just the most responsible person ever.
Aww.
Like, he's younger than me. Like, I think he's a couple years younger than me.
How do you call it when women go
a
for
a cougar?
A cougar. Hey, so many animals in this show tonight. I'm loving it.
I can't even laugh. I'm 2 years older than him.
There you go. And Papa is older than me.
Oh my God.
Jack is like, what am I doing here? Why did I take this job? Why did I sign up for this? Right,
it was
right,
the wrong day to come in, wasn't it?
I know, man.
Or the right day.
Or
I mean,
or the perfect day.
Right, so mom was supportive, and yeah. And Daniel is a good man. So you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna do my yeah. thing, whatever, whatever.
And like now, I'm obviously so into it. You know, like there's no way I can hide that I. And like, it's never affected my life at all. Like, I've never not got a job or not been able to do something or yeah. because I've got tattoos. Like, yeah. I feel like how you are as a person and, you know, what you bring to life should be more important than what you...
I always thought there was a strange thing when you, like, you know, when people find it hard to be employed because of tattoos.
Mm.
Like, mm. obviously if it says, like, F-U-C-K-U on your forearm, yeah. then yeah. I would understand, but...
Yeah. If it's not like... I mean, I don't think any of my tattoos are offensive.
No,
like,
I'm just...
Nah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot to take in.
Jess, never asked you. Is your father alive?
He's not.
He's not.
No, he's not. He died when I was young. 10?
Young. 10.
Yeah. Very, very young. Right.
Do you have clear memories?
No, I didn't really know him very well.
Right.
Yeah. So he and my mum were obviously together until I think I was about 2.
Right.
And then my mum and I moved here and he stayed. Like, I saw him occasionally, like like not very often, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. yeah. Never like made a. It was never a problem to not have dad there because mum was so on top of it. Nah. Hey, mum is great.
No, nah. I mean, I had a pretty casual childhood. Like, you know, mum was very cool. Like, yeah. and now that I'm older, I appreciate my mum so much because she, you know, she's
the coolest.
Oh, yeah. She's the coolest. Yeah. You know my mum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so cool.
I always
she's
make the same joke. I'm like, well, I know that there's not much hair left, but can you do something about it? And she smiles and she does.
Yeah.
I see your mum's
hairdresser. Yeah, she's the coolest. Cool.
Did you get some of that talent for yourself?
No, I always thought about being a hairdresser, but I just never eventuated to anything. I always thought about, oh, mum, maybe mum would like it if I was a hairdresser. But then that's her thing. It's not my thing.
Because I remember when you shaved your head.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a wig for a little. That was the coolest. I was so surprised. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I did that not too long ago. First lockdown, I shaved my head again.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. I got it shaved in the back as well.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. How nice is that when it's summer and you've got like an undercut?
So good.
Love it. So except good. It just ain't like the grow out period when you've like got 100 bobby pins.
Yeah, I didn't think about that when I did that.
and that's the thing with like the empowerment that like I always like to talk about. That's why I brought it up. The thing with like, how do you feel about doing these things? And people say, it's a man thing, whatever. Because... I think if you explain that well, if there's the proper education, if the girl is feeling inspired and empowered, like
nothing. And it doesn't have to be a man thing. Like when we go riding, sometimes there's, I mean, not very often, honestly, but there's sometimes girls that either leave from here or they meet us over in, you know, somewhere by Thames and they come riding with us. Honestly, there's not many. Like, I think I've only ever been on a ride with like 2 other girls.
Yeah.
Who are riding their own bikes, you know, not on the back of their partner's bikes, but. It's cool. Like, I love it when other girls come on the rides. Like, it's so cool. So, so cool. Because, like, you have, you know, someone to talk to. And not that I can't talk to the guys, of course.
Yeah.
You know, like a girl to talk to about whatever.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Hey, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I feel like that with with the drumming classes sometimes. You know, like, when a girl is taking drum classes or whatever, like, I know that there's nothing wrong that people would say, oh yeah, it's a boys thing, but just that idea of like feeling empowered, you know, like love this, you know, like do never care about what's happening, what people are saying, you know,
totally.
if you love it, it's a passion,
totally,
just go for it.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I feel like people, like nowadays, people care so much about what other people are saying and what other people are doing, like just who cares.
Do you feel
like your best life, man?
Yeah, true. Do you feel like it's a small town mentality, or it applies to everybody, especially now with social media and people are checking everything?
And I think people find it hard because I noticed young people now, because they just spend so much time looking at their phones, they find it hard to talk to people. Yeah. Like, I noticed when I don't speak to many young people, but like whenever I'm, because I drive the courier, whenever I go to a house and there's a young person and I'm like, you know, hey, how are you? It's like, good. that's it. And I'm like, oh, cool. All right, I'm good too. Thanks, bye. Yeah, like, I'm just, you know, they don't want to have a conversation with me.
Yeah.
Do you get, as a career driver, do you get so many people run out like, it's here?
Oh,
oh my goodness. Because that's me. I'm like, oh, waiting at the door.
And
like,
people go, what is it? And I'm like,
like, I didn't open it.
I don't know.
How about I wait here and you open it and you tell me what it
is? Yeah. Or like, people will run out, like, say, I'll park in front of like house number 15 and someone from 17 will come out and be like, have you got anything for me? I'm like,
did I?
No, otherwise I would have parked in front of your house.
Yeah. Like, and it would have been harder with COVID because obviously you guys were allowed to still work during it, but yeah, you have to keep your distance. You're like,
stay away from me.
Yeah, let me put it down and I'll drive away and you come get it.
Yeah, we're quite lucky though because we've got, there's a system for that. Like, you don't have to, normally people would sign on the little machine, but now you just have to like see someone so you can go up to the door. It's like someone can wave at you from inside and you just put the parcel down and leave.
Yeah.
Right. Is that the New Zealand Post or that PB something?
New Zealand Post.
New Zealand
You're
Post.
You're like the adult ice cream man.
Yeah. People are never sad to see me come. Yeah. Yeah. Never sad to see me arrive with your parcels.
Yeah. I always feel like the postie man's judging me.
Honestly.
The amount of packages we get sent to our house, I always feel like he's judging me. Jack, close your ears. We don't order that much online.
You get to know things, Jack, when it comes to the show. See, you get to find out about.
I've had them turn up, and there's a package that turns up at the door, and the postie's actually been like, can I see what's inside? Because the package looks so cool. I did.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was like a neon light, but he was impressed.
Nice. Okay, Jess, no names. Have you come across something funny that you were like, oh, look at this. This must be some... Oh, no. You.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Jess.
Well,
come
I
on.
Mean, we do get like some... like some things that come from some naughty websites.
Oh great.
Yeah. Like, and like names? Sometimes a package will like just vibrate.
Names of the website.
Vibrate in the van or something. Yeah, and you'll go, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And you're like something like, that you feel the package.
I'm going to hand it to the customer and be like,
there
you go.
Yeah, it's vibrating.
Look them in the eyes.
I know what you're doing.
TheUnpredictable.com. That is in the package, isn't it?
Yeah, unpredictable.
Actually, I had one that was for, I can't remember what it was for, but it was like, the website was Naughty Knobs.
Hey!
And I was like, oh my goodness. And it was like, you know, the shape of a, you know. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that is. So I Googled the website thinking it's going to be like a sex store shop, but it's actually like car exhaust, like that you put inside your car, like on your gear stick.
Oh.
It was like those things. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh.
Naughty Knobs. Straight to the gutter.
Yeah. And because it was like the right shape, and I was like,
"Oh, I see."
Is it the one that it's mainly girls doing the thing? Because I noticed in town that the van is usually a girl driving. Is it the one or maybe?
I mean,
not?
we've got all girls except for my boss and her partner or her husband. Sorry, obviously he's a guy, so he's the only guy who works during the courier, like in our department. But I think NZ Couriers has got a couple of guys that. They do the runs.
Right.
Yeah, we're all girls.
It's so cool, eh?
Yeah.
It's great when these things happen, you know, like people.
Power.
Yeah. It's the same thing with the tradies. Like friend of ours, she's doing the scaffolding now.
Cool.
You know? Yeah. And I'm like,
that's another like female tradies. I think that's cool.
Yeah. Cool. You know, gotta, you know. It's for everybody, isn't it?
Like absolutely. Just learn. Absolutely.
And it's physical, right? Mm. You out there, you're doing something.
I think it's even like if you go the opposite way, when you have stay-at-home dads and you get the dads at the bus stop and you get dads at school doing drop-off and pick-up and stuff like that, because normally it's always mums, but it's cool when you have the dads at home and the mums. Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Mum's being the breadwinner, right?
Yes.
Dad's taking care of stuff at home.
Yep.
Do you feel like... having a family one day?
Or
do you have that mom thing? No? I know that is not a great question. I'm sorry. But
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. For right now, definitely not.
I'm definitely
on team no for right now. But maybe one day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see myself as being very motherly, but like I don't really have any friends that have kids or, you know, I don't really know anyone that's got kids.
Do you live in Fitzyanga? God damn it, I cannot think of a person without a child
I don't have many friends though, so.
Shit, now I'm feeling bad. guys, watching the show, get in touch with Jess and the partner, you know, go play some board games or whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah. Bring your kids.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bring your kids.
Oh, no.
Bring your kids.
Oh, shit. You can't go to the pub with the kids. No, I suppose.
I know. Yeah, it depends. They might not give you the best look.
And I feel like kids are really expensive, right?
Are they, Christine?
Hit or miss. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes things are expensive and busy. Like, at the moment, it's winter sport. Oh. So you got, like, uniform and football boots.
And I suppose for each kid, you need a uniform and school stuff and...
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I don't know.
You can make it expensive for yourself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Right.
But then it's, you know, it is what it is. It's not like you're buying the whole things they need all at the same time. So figure it out.
Do you guys do those things of like, oh yeah, your brother used to use this, now it's your turn? Or it depends on what?
Things I would do, like shoes, if they grew out of it too quickly, then the next one can have them in, like, jackets and stuff. But we have a girl and then a boy and then another boy, so.
Right.
Yeah. But, we just give away clothes. We get given clothes, so. But you can make it expensive for yourself if you're like, no, I don't wear secondhand clothes.
I suppose just, like, there's a bike community. There's probably a community of mums who will want to, like, pitch in and help each other and, you know, all that, like, sort of stuff. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you have babies, you'll probably find some mum friends.
Babies.
Baby, who knows?
Settle down.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's a scary thought for me. Yeah. Terrifies me.
Like, going for one baby, suddenly three.
Like, we had a dog, and I was like, this is so hard. Like, I can't even do this.
Yeah, pets are harder. Like, we've got three kids, but we've got two cats, and pets are harder.
Yes. Wait. Wow, something just came here to me.
Oh, no.
You mentioned the dog.
Mm.
Was it a story that you picked up a dog and you gave the dog back, wasn't it?
No. That was at that house. So I got that dog. I remember that. I got that dog. And no, because she had it for a long time. And I think it had happened before. Like, someone had bought it and given it back. I didn't know that. So I got that dog and it was like so used to being with the lady it came from. And she obviously... you know, I think she was a stay-at-home mom or whatever. She just was at home with the dog all the time, and I was a working person. So I got this dog, and I tried to make it work, and it just was so bad. It was so bad. Like, just hit under the couch the whole time.
Yeah.
And I said to this lady, I'm really sorry. Like, this is not working out. She's like, oh, it's fine. I'll just come and get him. And I was like, okay.
Aww.
So I was lucky, actually, to get out that one.
And then you had more dogs after that.
That was when I was young, like probably
18. I said that it just came to me. You mentioned dogs.
My partner and I, when we were out on the dairy farm, we got a dog. And then she was used to the farm, like 90 hectares, just go wherever she wanted. And then we moved into town to like a 400 square meter section, and she just like chewed the weatherboards and dug holes, and she was very, very naughty, and I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So actually my partner's dad took her, so we still got to see her eventually, but I think she's gone to somewhere else now. I don't actually know. But yeah, she was so naughty. But
so no dogs in the future then?
No, we got a cat though.
Cats just do their own thing.
Oh, so good.
Yes.
I'm definitely team cat, not team dog.
Which team?
I've got two cats.
Team cat.
Yeah, so we've got...
we're all team cats.
Yeah.
That's good. I rescued my cat from the Lost Spring.
Oh. Yeah.
What's your cat's name?
Well, Jay. But, in the document is Janie Jones, her full Janie name.
Jones.
Janie Jones. Yeah, but for the friends call her Jay. Yeah.
That's nice.
She's super friendly. Yeah, she's great. So it's been with me for maybe almost 6 years now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years. And it's funny, we were talking about that last night. Like, it feels like the cat owns you, you know? Mm. Like, it's not you who's in charge. It's just...
I know. Well, I have to buy certain food for my cats because they're so fussy.
Really?
And I feel silly at the supermarket because you're looking, you're like, oh, they don't eat that one, they don't eat that one. And then you have someone else next to you doing the same thing, like, oh, you can't get that. Oh, they don't like gravy, they don't like jelly.
My mum said to me, I get my cat these treats, like, and they feed it with the cat biscuit. So I tried it, and now he doesn't eat anything else other than these freaking like fancy cat treats. You're so like, just such a rookie mistake.
Yeah. just so fussy. I can't believe how fussy our cats are. Like, it's crazy.
Hey, Taylor, you didn't... Oh, do you want to say something?
Normally, pets follow just what the owners are, isn't it?
I was waiting. We knew it was coming.
And I'd like to say as well that your cat's the only cat that is chased by birds.
Wait, your cat gets chased by birds?
Man.
He does, yeah.
It's funny.
I didn't realize that there are so many comments on our chats. So
is there?
Yeah. About the kiwi fruit? Yeah.
Sorry?
Any answers about kiwi fruit?
Well, I'm trying to read the top one, Taylor, that Matt sent, but for some reason there's something covering. He said something shameful, blah, blah, blah. Can you guys read that? I don't know, for some reason it's... Oh, wait. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have some different comments here. So there's one right at the start of the show. Matt Cook. Hey, Matt. Hi. The way we waste food across the world just because it doesn't look quite right is shameful. Mm. We could feed millions who are struggling at home and abroad. So that's pretty much why I mentioned that, you know, like I'm not here to raise, you know, things that I'm not sure about it, but I'm sure that you're right, Matt.
Yeah.
You know, like I cannot blame the place who produces this, because there's obviously a demand and a legislation that is shameful. You're right about how things operate. But yeah, man. And another thing that every year I have to do something about it. Now with Altbase, we have to do something about it. The waste of food, like, you know, a lot of houses have beautiful citrus trees, and it's just rotting.
They just
there,
fall
you know?
Off and rot on the ground.
So so like we have ideas to try to do something about it. Maybe it is the time, because now we have the platform, so we can reach more people.
Absolutely.
Okay, don't forget to share. Yeah, the revolution won't be televised. It will be live streamed at Altbase channel. Great, I love this. Thank you. And then we have a comment from Blueberry Co.
Oh, hey. Hey, Chloe.
Love the Friday show team. Feels like drinks with friends. Oh, cool. Yeah. And then Jason from CFM says, totally. Shout out to Jason. Matt is in Germany. So he says, well, just gone 9 a.m. here. So more of a good breakfast club for me. Great. Okay. We need a drum. Blah, blah, blah. Don't be shy. Okay, so I got the same vibe with tattoos moving from Australia. It feels way more acceptable in New Zealand, and now I want more.
Yeah,
nice.
Feel that.
Shout out. Dane Doom. Hello, locals. What are the two main things you should never do on a motorcycle, and what's your favorite tattoo? Great question.
Oh, I would probably never ride my... Personally, I would never ride my motorcycle. I mean, I'd ride it around town without my jacket on, but I would never go on a long ride without protective gear on.
Yeah.
I can't think of another thing.
That's a good one already.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, and just be safe. Like, you know, people in cars don't care about you on your motorcycle. Like, you know, just be aware of everyone. You've got to always be so, like, just be so aware of your surroundings and... Mm-hmm. You know, and just people in cars, like, watch out for motorcycles.
There you go. Watch out for motorcycles. Be kind, hey, people.
Yeah. Any favorite tattoo?
Ooh.
Favorite tattoo, yes, please. Yes.
It's one of my favorites. I don't know if I have a favorite. I've got quite a few favorites. I mean, I've got
Let's
a tattoo
go for the few ones,
with my
yes.
mum's name on it, on my arm, which I really like. I've got a big wolf on my right thigh. Which is really cool. I've got quite a few. I like quite a few of them.
What is the one on your thigh?
It's a wolf, like a big wolf face. Yeah, it's quite cool. I got, actually, when I was working at the hotel, all the regulars like pulled together money for a tattoo voucher. Aww. And they gave it to me. I think it was for my 21st birthday.
Cute.
And they're like, yeah, I got a tattoo. It was
cool. Okay. Again, so many cool comments. George Smith, hello guys, awesome show. Thanks, George. Robo 4 says, Jess is the resistance for sure.
Yeah, rock and roll.
And George is laughing. Oh no, someone's saying for a vegan that loves to work in the dairy industry. I hope you watched the whole thing and realized that there was a bit of a sarcasm there.
Yeah.
Hanako. Hi, Hanako. What are some things you should consider when riding a motorcycle? And what's your favorite motorcycle brand? Was it the Harley Always a Dream, or there's any other ones that you would go for?
Or I think a Harley is probably a good starting point. I think if I get another bike, it'll probably be my Harley, but the 1200 version, which is the same but just a little bit bigger, a little bit more power. Or I've been eyeing up like an Indian motorcycle, but they're really, really expensive. They're like way out of my price range.
It's a lot of wind bike.
Yeah, yeah. There's many bikes. But I really love my bike. I won't sell it until I find something that I really, really love.
So. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then we just have a couple of other comments from... I think it's Mel or Melly, Mel Y. Hi, Jess. Having a good laugh along with you guys. Also, Eleanor is the bomb.
Is that my mom? It's my mom.
Hey, hey, mom. Yeah. Come on, tell us about your 250 Yamaha.
Oh, Yamaha Dragstar it was. So looks like a...
Thanks, Jason.
Just a little bike, like, you know, a little 250, but looked like a big bike. So it looked the part. As you know, as being a big bike, but just didn't have the juice behind it. Yeah, it was super cool. Like, I was really, really sad to sell it. But I think when I sold it, I had intentions to get a bigger bike, but I don't know, something came up and I never got around to it.
Yeah.
And then probably lucky that I didn't get another bike, because then I probably wouldn't have got my Harley. So.
Do you name your bike? Is it a thing?
Yeah, like, my bike has a name. My bike's called Peach.
Peach.
But it's blue, so I don't know. Doesn't make sense.
Beach, okay, is what it is. Oh, nice. Did you name it? Did you come up
with it? I did name it.
Yeah.
Just came to me one day.
What's your partner's bike's name?
Oh, I don't know. His bike's quite new, though. His bike's quite new, and we've only been on like a few rides. So yeah.
Maybe he hasn't given a name yet.
Yeah. I might have to ask him when I get home what his bike's called. Daniel, if you're watching, what's your bike called?
Yeah.
Come on, Daniel, send us a comment.
Check it on YouTube.
I think I read it, bro. Oh, no, Jason just said, so I kind of have the 1,100 version of that bike, Jess.
1,100.
That must be...
That's a big boy bike.
That's a big boy bike.
Yeah.
Jason, my man. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I hope you ride it responsibly.
Oh, he's a very responsible guy. So. Jason from Coromandel FM.
Oh, very cool.
Cool, man. Yes.
Very, very cool.
I'm
going to see you in 2 weekends. Fireworks at 10 a.m. Not this weekend, but the following. Oh, if it's not raining.
He's in Australia. He's coming to... He's coming to New Zealand pretty soon, which is great. He's a good man.
Cool.
Looking forward to seeing him. Jazz, you look happy working for the New Zealand Post. Mm. Would you consider going back to the bars, to the hospitality life?
No, definitely not. I love my job. I just love it. Like, I've never done it before, and it's so cool. Like, and my boss is like the coolest. No, it's really cool. Like, it's such a cruisy job. But when I started, because I've lived here for so long, I thought, man, how am I gonna learn all these streets? Like, how am I gonna learn where all this stuff is and all these numbers? Because, you know, some streets are 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, sequentially, and then some are evens on one side and odds on the other. So you just sort of got to get used to it. But now that I've done it for maybe only 3 months now. I do the same run like every day. So I just pretty much go to the same places. Yeah. And
is there a thing, sorry, that you have to finish that amount of deliveries per day, or you can wait to the next day? Like, how does it usually work?
So in the morning, we get like a truck that arrives with all our parcels for the day, and then we, you know, put them into sections, and then we try and clear the floor every day. So I think there's 10 or 12 or between 10 and 15 different sections of like plate, you know, like say Buffalo Beach and then up Centennial and then over in Simpsons Beach. So everybody, you know, you put all your parcels in your van and then you do your run and then sort of go on to the next thing. But I do, so I do the town side streets in the morning and then after that I'll go Buffalo Centennial, Simpsons Beach, and then I do like the far end of Cook Drive. So that's like your I don't know if you guys know Marlin Wells, all that past, you know, the highway that comes in on the left hand side. And then I'll do
usually like Whitby Springbok area, and then I'll do sort of up Cook Drive between New World and the highway. I'll do that, and then I'll do Jackman and sort of Park Lane area, and that's usually what I do.
Right.
And then there's quite, you know, obviously there's the rugby club area, and then there's Robinson, and then there's the waterways, and but we only do Whittinga, so it's pretty easy.
Cool.
I mean, once you know what you're doing, it's pretty easy.
Don't have to finish at 2 a.m.
No,
clean a little bit of vomit, a little bit of blood. Oh, sorry, when you're drinking water, look at my comments.
What time do
Fantastic.
You like? Good what time do you beer. Start?
7:30.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
either.
And like we finish today, I finished at 3, and yesterday I finished at like 2:30.
Sweet.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. So good.
It's just, they're going. Like, these people are going, talking about music while riding. I listen to CFM loudly in my helmets. Yeah. I ride to and from work daily and have awesome speakers in my helmets.
Cool.
And then Matt said, when I rode, if I had music in my ears, I rode like an idiot. Death metal and bikes are not always a good mix.
No.
I'm loving this chat tonight, guys. People are like watching, laughing with us and going hard. Yeah, that's cool. Mm. So yeah, no more bar life enough. Yeah, nah, leave it. Nah,
I
nah,
don't think
nah,
so.
Nah.
I don't. I because my partner works in the daytime as well.
Mm.
So you know, if I worked at night, it would be I would probably never see him.
Yeah.
You know, because I would get home and then, I would be home all day and he would be at work, and then you know when he got home, I would be going to work. Yeah, just.
Mm. Yeah.
No, wouldn't work for us.
You had your fun, had your time, and then time for something.
I mean, I did a shift at Smitty's. Oh, it was a while ago now, and like people were just so rude, and like I just
you're like, no, I'm out.
Yeah, when I was working at it as my full time job, I was real polite, but I just like I can't deal with people being rude to me. I just am like, I'm not about it. Like I'm like, if you want to be like that, just go away from me. I'm not into it.
And I think the team you guys had at the time that you were at the hotel was solid, eh? Yeah. I always say like that it was pretty special, eh? Like the groups and the workers at the bars around town. It was so cool, eh? It was such a good vibe. So that helps, eh?
It was very cool back then.
I think it's a jazz partner. I'm not sure. The Game of Life is the name of the channel. And he's saying, my bike name is Jess.
There you go, my man. Yes, decided to show up. Hey, Daniel, my brother.
Oh, funny.
Jess, this is so cool. This is great. Thanks for coming.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
This is fun. Do you wanna say something to the beautiful people? You sent a good message. Drive carefully. Yeah. Pay attention to the bikers.
Don't be a dick.
If you're gonna ride a bike, be safe. Be cool.
Yes. And if the kids come, if the teenagers come with ideas to get tattoos,
Oh, maybe just think about it. Just think about it a little bit longer.
No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets. Yeah, no
regrets. No regrets.
Cool, kids. So there you go. Got some instructions there for you. No tattoos at an early age. Riding the bike carefully.
And wear a helmet.
Don't trust
cows. Wear a helmet. Don't trust cows. That's the
unpredictable.
That's the
unpredictable.
Christine, it's going to be such a good
I'm so not looking forward to watching Facebook tomorrow.
Oh, don't worry. It's going to be great. Yeah. Might be on TikTok.
Like, why don't you trust cows? Because I don't.
This is cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No, no worries.
Yeah.
Christine, what a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for dragging Jack in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Jack. Thanks,
whoop.
Taylor.
Whoop, whoop.
Yay.
All good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe another time soon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jazz, next time we bring some of the old school people to share some stories.
Yeah, it'd be cool if Richie was here.
I know, right?
Could have some yarns.
I had a chat with him last night.
He's a cool guy.
We're brewing some ideas. Mm. I'm sure he's going to have some stories to share, right?
He's a cool guy, that one.
Yes.
Very, very cool. And Chloe would probably have some good stories too.
Yes. We have to be careful with Chloe.
Oh,
and she knows
that. Yeah.
She's like, it's actually good that I'm a co-host. I'm not sure if I would be good as a guest. I was like, yeah, let's keep it. Let's hold it. But thank you so much. Send my love to Mom.
Will do.
To Daniel. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jess. Thank you for watching the Alt Bass Show. So just a reminder, on Monday, we have Sandra Gowdy, the mayor, the Thames Coromandel District mayor, coming for a chat. If she doesn't cancel, then it's not our problem. Right? But she won't. We had a chat and she's, yeah, she's king. So jump on the live stream, send a question, okay? Let's make it a cool interactive show with her. We go live 3 times per week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 p.m. This platform is growing. The best way to support us is to hit the subscribe button. It really helps us. It means that more people get notifications, so the algorithm plays on our side and spreads the news about what we're doing. Okay, this is this is something that we decided to do because we really like this community. I've been here for almost 9 years. Taylor's been here for, I think, 7.5, almost 8 years. And there's a bunch of interesting people here. And we want to bring more interesting people from out of the Coromandel so we get more events, more shows, more cool things happening. So if we work together, we're going to make Coromandel even better. Wow, that was good, eh?
God, that was good.
Damn, modest. Wow. Shit. I'll see you on Monday. Ciao.
Bye.
That was cool.